Welcome back to the Torbay Hospitality Podcast. Today, we are taking you behind the scenes of Torbay's top attractions with exclusive interviews from Kent's Cavern and the Golden Hind, that cool pirate ship in Brixham Harbor. We recorded these live at the Riviera Connect event. Plus, we've got the latest scoop on all your local hospitality news, events, and job opportunities. You ready to dive in?
Yeah, but before we do dive in, I just want to do a quick shout out to our sponsors.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Consilio Insurance Torbay and Teignbridge. For all your insurance needs, reach out to Simon Steer at 07 760 346 561. And don't forget to follow them on socials. Remember, that's Consilio with a K.
Brilliant. And our second sponsor is us. We're master storytellers here at Treat Marketing, and it's not just about selling like a product or a service. It's we're about crafting your unique narrative, just like we do with our podcast. With Treat, you're not just another client. You are a story waiting to unfold. So let us tell the story of your business. Give us a call on 07513-472-371 and book your consultation today.
All right, and now we have some shout-outs. Lynn, do you want to start with the shout-outs?
Yeah, so we've got Alex visiting from Beverly. Welcome, Alex. Danny, Lou and Carmen, Nick from Mubu Home, Tom and Amber from Bangin' Bakes.
Very nice. Yeah, Bangin' Bakes, by the way.
Yeah.
They make some Bangin' Bakes.
They do, and they also sell to hospitality businesses. So if you're looking for a new vendor that is going to bring in like homemade cakes every day for your like kind of coffee and cake offer, make sure to give Amber a call. Follow her on Facebook at Bangin' Bakes.
Yeah, and you can also just check her website. It's if you type in Bangin' Bakes Talkie.
Yeah.
She has some really creative kind of bakes.
Yeah,
they're banging.
They're banging.
For my shout outs, I want to shout out Phil, Hazel, Oggy, Emma, Ali, and Sam Gregg, which is the photographer that I was showing you
earlier
this week, which is crazy. Really, amazing. Really, really good work. And now we have some headline news. So, Storm Ciarán has blown in and closed many of the bars, restaurants, and attractions in Torbay. We hope to see everyone back in business tomorrow.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, just sit down, get a cup of tea, and enjoy the podcast.
Enjoy the podcast, right. So in restaurant news, we are thrilled to announce that a friend of the pod, Rehan Udin, who owns and is the head chef of Indiang, he's been awarded the prestigious SME Southern Enterprise Award.
Congrats, well deserved, Rehan. Yes,
well done. Yeah. Woo! Heck yeah.
Absolutely well deserved. He's nice. Really, really on it. Also in restaurant news, we have Tam's Kitchen, which is running a giveaway, and you can win a very yummy lunch for two. If you're listening before the 4th, then you still have time to enter, so go onto their Instagram, that's Tam's Kitchen,
right,
and you can enter. And they're actually running this giveaway kind of in homage to World Vegan Day, which I believe was yesterday.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, so I think World Vegan Day was overshadowed by a storm coming in or something. I didn't hear much about World Vegan Day. So,
yeah, so
brilliant.
The yummy lunch that you're going to try, they're all vegan vegan takes, and they look really delicious.
Oh my god, I love Tam's Kitchen. I'm not a vegan myself, but yeah, they're on Winter Street in Peyton, and I absolutely love their food. They've got like these amazing like loaded fries, and they even have like all different kinds of vegan options, but they also have like craft beer in tins and like cocktails that are in, you know, like really interesting cocktails and stuff. So yeah, it's a really cool place.
Where is it? Winter Street
in Peyton.
I think Winter Street's doing quite well.
It is recently. It's the five ways hop house is down there as well in Tam's Kitchen, so you can go out for drinks and dinner.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
So yeah, Otto and Il Cornicione are offering 10% off takeaway pizzas, and that includes also drinks and deli items. So give them a call on 01803-302-366 to get your order started, and you check out their Facebook to view the menu.
Very nice. I can see that Cantina has announced their new opening hours, and that's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sundays. So normal days, 10 till 4, and on Sundays, 10 till 5. Their next wine tasting is Friday the 17th of November. I'm sure you remember last week on the podcast, we explained their South African wine tasting nights.
It's tomorrow, but I checked, it's sold out.
Is it sold out?
It is, yes.
Yeah. That makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. So the next one after tomorrow is the 17th of November at 7 p.m. And if you want to catch that one before it sells out, you got to go to Eventbrite and tickets are available there. So go to Eventbrite, type in Cantina Wine Tasting.
Yep. Shoreline has announced a breakfast with Santa that's on the 2nd and 9th of December. It's only £7 per child, and the kids get a special kids hot chocolate, fluffy pancakes, and a gift selection box of treats. Santa arrives at 11 a.m., so you want to make sure you get there early to watch his arrival. And how iconic, like Santa coming in like right along the seafront and everything. Isn't that cool?
That's very cute.
Yeah, adults get a Christmas breakfast BAP and a hot drink for only £8. So to book, you email shorelinepainton@gmail.com to reserve your table.
It's actually very affordable. £7. I mean,
for Santa.
For Santa. He's got to travel a long way.
It's yeah.
Think of the petrol.
I know, right? The fuel costs are going up. So yeah, £7 is a really good deal. And you know, and kids just love, you know, like hot chocolate and pancakes. That's perfect for kids. Yeah. It's a nice
Even
idea.
Without the Santa, that's still pretty decent value.
It certainly is. Yeah. I think I'm going to get Daisy booked on there. I don't know when she's going to see Santa in his grotto, but maybe this is one of the opportunities she has to like let her to tell them, tell him her Christmas list.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we've got hashtag post your roast. Have you seen any good roasts lately?
I have. I saw an amazing one in the Olive, the new restaurant, Brixham.
Oh, my
Wow.
Incredible.
It looks incredible. Like, really, really good.
Yeah, it's like luxury Sunday roast. So it's like, yeah, just not bog standard. It's like over the top.
Exactly. Amazing. It's luxury Sunday roast, or you can so there's different ways in which we can have this. You can either have the Devon beef mignon,
ooh,
the whole roasted spatchcock chicken,
unreal,
or a slow cooked lamb shank.
I'm a lamb person. Oh my god, the lambs. Cook them up for me
slowly. Cook them slowly.
Yeah, the slower the better. Oh, I love it. They serve, know what I like about this is that they serve it all day from 12 to 8. I don't think there's anything worse than going into like a pub or a restaurant and you want the Sunday lunch and they go, sorry, we're sold out, or we stopped doing it, and you're just like, hang on, I just woke up, what do you mean you're sold out? You know what I mean?
And what's really nice about the Olive is you're gonna have this luxury Sunday roast, and next to it you're gonna have a really special glass of wine.
Oh yeah, from our friend Sean,
the sommelier Sean.
Sean Cockman is over at the Olive. Yeah, that's really good too. And they have that, you know, they have that wine club where you can come in and like pour your own glass of wine and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Like yeah, I don't know how they do it. I think it's like a card, and the card goes on the machine, and then they get your wine out. And then they, you know what else is good here is that, do you know anybody who doesn't like a Sunday roast? I know somebody who does. I'm not a fan personally. What's nice is that the Olive also has this, the regular menu alongside the Sunday roast, so it's not just roast and then no other options. So the whole main menu is also available.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Sunday roast, but the slow cooked lamb shank, that doesn't even sound like a Sunday roast to me. It's like a rebranded Sunday roast.
You've been upgraded.
Exactly.
I love that. So, right, we've got some Christmas and New Year's ears. New Year's ears?
New Year's ears. Have you got your New Year's ears?
No.
No? Well, I've got my New Year's nose, but...
There's some events here. Do you want to take it away, Cal?
Yeah, so the Church House Inn in Malden has announced their Christmas party. It's traditional Christmas dinner options, and it's pretty affordable. It's £28 for two courses or £32 for the three course meal. And they also have some options for the little ones. So you can get I mean, it's slightly less for the kids to choose from, but you know, the kids. So
yeah, they're fine.
But it is much cheaper for the kids. It's like £17 for the two course meal.
Nice.
So if you want to book at the Church House Inn in Malden, you want to call 01803-558-279.
Amazing.
And another one is the Harbour Light. They're not. It's not a Christmas party. Actually, what they've got going on for Christmas is a Christmas gift voucher.
Okay.
And that's either going to be for a meal or a stay away.
Okay.
So if you are looking for like a little extra stocking filler, that's a, you know, a really easy one.
Yeah.
It's a pleaser.
Yeah.
You know you're going to have a lovely meal in the next couple of months. That's nice.
Yeah.
And also what's really nice is the way they've packaged their gift cards. So it's not just, you're not just getting a card, you're getting it kind of in this cardboard packaging. It's not a box, but it's just to go over the card. it makes it a bit more of a occasion when you're opening it, you know?
It makes it really special.
Exactly. Lovely. Exactly.
Have you seen over in Brixham, Ash and the team at the Curious Kitchen, they have pulled it out of the bag this Christmas. They are offering a 7-course tasting menu. Wow. It's complete with coffee and petit fours.
What's a petit four?
A little dessert.
Okay.
Take bookings. They're taking bookings for selected Friday and Saturday nights in December with a £10 deposit. So to get booked in for the 7-course tasting menu, and you know it is going to be good. So all you have to do is ring 01803-854-816.
Okay, cool.
Nice. So we've got a couple more events to go through. There's the Santa's Grotto is coming back to Fleet Walk.
Oh,
I know. It's been
coming
good.
For years and years.
I know. So they're going to be open until Christmas Eve. So with festive season just around the corner, they've begun to transform Fleet Walk, into a winter wonderland with red drapes in the windows and some guests, including Santa and snowmen and reindeers. And of course, there'll be elves there too.
So very exciting.
They're open from Saturday, November 18th until Christmas Eve. And all of the proceeds will go to the Rotary Charities. Tickets are available to buy online through Eventbrite.
Okay, very nice. So where would you take Daisy to? This one or the other one?
We've already been to this Fleet Walk Grotto, so I'm thinking maybe Shoreline, but I don't know what the family has in plan for her. So okay, I don't want to overstep. We're going to the Panto. That's what I know. So yeah, Panto and lunch. I think we've been invited to Pier Point, so that'll be nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
nice.
Lunch at Pier Point and then the theater.
That's lovely.
Mm. Now, don't forget that there's more to Santa than just sitting in a chair. There's the Brixham Seaside Santa 3K Fun Run.
Oh.
I know. It's to benefit Shoalstone Sea Pool. And that's Sunday, the 3rd of December at 11 a.m. And entries are open and they're on runbritains.com website. Are you going to get on your costume and go run?
I was going to say, is that fancy dress? Is
yeah.
That,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a Santa fun. It's all the Santas.
So,
and they're all like running together.
Pwah.
I know.
Pwah. Okay.
That sounds so fun, doesn't it? I think they do a few things at Christmas time. I've seen somewhere that there's like a Santa sea swim at Paignton.
Yeah. I know that there's a New Year's Eve or New Year's Day sea swim in Paignton.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to that one a couple of times.
Nice.
I've never been for Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure for myself on this 3K.
No, 3K.
Santa run.
How long is a 3K? Like 1.8 miles or something?
Even if it was 100, I'm not sure if I'm...
100-yard dash.
100-yard dashes.
Listen, I've got an idea. I'm going to put it out there. Are you ready?
Okay.
We're going live. All right. Going rogue.
Okay. Ooh.
In New York City, they've got something called SantaCon.
Okay.
Right. And I'm not trying to pinch that idea, but it's a damn good idea. So basically, they open up like, you know, kind of all the bars, all the restaurants, they all have like Santa offerings. And it's just like they put it on as an event and it's like Comic-Con, but it's for Santas. And so SantaCon, like everybody turns up, everybody's in a Santa outfit and everybody just goes out and eats and drinks. And I think that's what the hospitality... services really in Torbay need.
So you're saying like when everyone's on their Santa run on that day, then all the restaurants on the almost turn it into like a pub golf for Santa.
Yeah, that's what you can do over in Brixham. But I think that why can't Torbay have a SantaCon?
It's a good question.
I know. Well, let's get it started. If anybody's interested in joining in and starting SantaCon 2024, get in touch and we will help you. We will help bring this thing to life. I think it would be a fantastic event to have a bunch of tourists come down to Torbay and celebrate Christmas and part, you know, and go to all of the restaurants and bars all across Torbay.
Also, if you're not interested in collaborating with us to realize this, but you actually just think it's a great idea, let us know.
Definitely.
Go on to Instagram, Torbay Hospitality. And just comment somewhere saying SantaCon.
SantaCon. Hashtag SantaCon. Let's start it. SantaCon Torbay 2024. Here we are.
Right. That's a long hashtag.
I know. It's a long hashtag, but it's so worth it.
It's worth it.
Right. Supply your news. Take it away, Cal.
All right. So Baysbury has teamed up with Visit South Devon to give one winner a festive seasonal hamper worth £50.
That's amazing.
Head over to visitsouthdevon.co.uk to enter that draw.
Amazing. And we've got a little story from our friends over at Consilio.
Yeah, so if you're Mm. Are you worried about the bad weather in Torbay at the moment?
I was worried last night. Like, went on to our stories. Honestly, I saw that Dark Princess, you know, the party boat with the purple lights on the back?
Yeah.
It was rocking and rolling out in the harbor. I thought, oh my God, that little boat is going to just like blow away. It went over sideways.
I saw, was it here or was it in Paignton somewhere?
No, it was here. It was in, in Torbay, in the harbor in Torquay.
I saw some boat when I was driving home.
Yeah.
It was, had lots of lights on and it was just bobbing around.
It was wild.
Just going for it.
I know.
That's a party. That's a real party.
I'm surprised they didn't throw up. I don't know. It seemed like pretty wild out there.
Well, if you are worried about the bad weather in Torbay, don't fret because Consilio, that's Consilio with a K, Consilio Insurance has got your back.
That's right. Our sponsor, Simon Steer, he's not just an insurance broker. He's a specialist in hospitality and he understands the unique challenges and the risks that you face. So with Consilio, you're not just getting an insurance policy, you're getting a partner who's going to stand by you. So give Simon a call today, 0776-0346-561 for your free consultation. I know that my policy is up for renewal here at Treat, and so I'm going to be giving Simon a call myself.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. And now on to attractions news.
That's right. Splashdown Key West is getting a $3 million upgrade over the next 3 to 5 years.
Great.
So they're going to have like new water slides, an indoor play area, and a climbing center. And they're putting in a new car park because I know Young's Park, it's wild down there.
I've seen them. I've seen them working on that that indoor play area.
An indoor play area.
I've seen work on an outdoor play area.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they're going to put a building over that or something?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. It looks incredible. It looks really, really interesting. But
yeah.
Right now, it's definitely outdoors.
Yep, great news, but it is great news, you know, because yeah, Splashdown's like a really big attraction down here.
Yeah,
and Dartmouth Steam Railway, they're wrapping up for the 2023 season today. It's Thursday the 2nd. So,
congrats to them.
I know they're getting ready for the Christmas Train of Lights on the 24th of November. We can't wait to see all the images from that spectacle. All the and they've got all different features and everything. We've recently interviewed Serenity Damon, who's the granddaughter of the railway's founder, and she shared so many insights into like how the Train of Lights came about, and so well worth a listen. So yeah, please do check it out.
That's the last episode of season 2.
That's right, so season 2 finale.
Go have a listen. It really is so interesting. And before she came, we had no idea that she was the granddaughter of the person who founded that railway.
I know.
And
I thought she
just
was like
slipped it in.
I know, she was like the marketing manager, and we put headphones on her. She's like, "I'm the granddaughter," and she started into this story. I was like, "What?"
Yes, a crazy story. Crazy story.
Nuts.
Yeah.
They've got a Christmas wreath making workshop at Tor Abbey on the 19th and 21st of December from 2 to 4 p.m. and that's over in the Spanish Barn. Head over to tor-abbey.org.uk and check out what's on.
Woo.
Nice.
Okay, now on to some events news.
Oh, here we go.
Think you're going to really like this one, Lynn.
I love it. 2nd of February, the Simon and Garfunkel story is coming to Torbay. So that's Friday the 2nd of Feb. That's Groundhog Day. And that is from 7:30 to 9:45. And that is following their sold-out performances in London's West End and a worldwide tour and standing ovations at every performance.
Yeah.
So Simon and Garfunkel story, it sounds pretty fun.
Just quickly, give me a little lesson. What is Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day is celebrated in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania every year on the 2nd of February. And, well, we were just talking about a woodchuck. But this is a groundhog. It's like a different kind of an animal. It's another ground rodent. It is. It is like a woodchuck. Yeah, it is like a woodchuck or like a beaver. We've just got a lot of critters over there, I'll tell you that. And every 2nd of February at sunrise or whatever, they pull the groundchuck out of the... They pull the... What am I talking about?
I've seen the movie. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Is it a groundchuck?
Groundhog. Groundchuck.
I just made up hybrid. A new animal.
I'm sure someone's tried it.
Somebody's braised it in a gravy already. So yeah, it's a groundhog. And if he sees his shadow, it's six weeks of summer. And if he doesn't see his shadow, then it's 6 more weeks
of winter.
Is that
something I've seen the movie? But
yes, that
I didn't realize that actually is something that people do.
Yes, it happens. happens every year in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. It's out west, like Western Pennsylvania. I know. It's the same kind of thing as, like, you know, like running of the bulls in Pompeii. You know, it's like an occasion. It's just a one day thing, the tomato thing in Spain and that kind of thing, where it's just the whole town and further afield get together.
Such like a calm version of the tomatoes and the bulls.
Honestly, I think now it's just an excuse to get drunk. So any excuse.
Wait, have you ever gone?
No, I've never gone. But yeah, it was something that we, of course, always grew up with.
Yeah, okay.
Like, you always knew when Groundhog Day was.
Yeah.
So it was neat when the movie came out.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was just the movie.
No, you thought it was the movie. It was an event before it was a movie.
Crazy, crazy.
And it's a real one.
All right, the next event we have going is...
Right, Girls' Night at the Wine Box, with wine tasting, graze boards, and skincare demonstrations with Devon organic skincare brand Wild Rising. So that's on Friday the 24th of November at 6:30 p.m.
Very nice.
Tickets are only £35, and you book through the Wine Box.
Yeah, and if you go, make sure you say hello to Danny.
Absolutely.
We
give her a shout out today.
Yeah, owner of Wild Rising.
Yeah.
Fantastic, fantastic business owner. Really have a lot of time for her.
Yeah. Amazing. Hi, Danny.
All right. Now we have not one, but two for the diary.
Two for the diary. Go for it.
All right. So first one is the children's TV legends, Dick and Dom.
What are they going to do?
They're going to be in Torbay.
Never.
In Torquay next month. All right. Now, you might know Dick and Dom from Devungalo and Are You Smarter Than a 10-Year-Old?
Okay.
And they're going to be spinning some decks. They're going to be DJing.
Wow. Where is this? Oh, at the Foundry.
Yes, they're going to be in the Foundry in Torquay.
Oh, my God. That's outrageous. I love that.
They're going to be performing a range of old school tunes.
I love
it. And indie anthems big dance hits.
Right. All right. Woo. That's amazing. I'll look for Dick and Dom at the Foundry. I never thought that I'd say that.
Bizarre.
I know. So on the 17th of November, there's a Torbay musical weekend, and that is from the 17th to the 20th of November. And it's this music festival. It's coming back to the Grand Hotel, and it's been every year since the 70s. And it's primarily aimed at classical music, but it also has like jazz and opera and shows and other fare. So that's really interesting.
It is really interesting. Also, I saw with that one that they don't just invite the... it's not just people listening to music. It's also kind of like academics, critics, journalists, all sort of music.
You're like intelligentsia.
Intelligentsia. Oh, oui.
Yeah, oui. We won't be invited. Let's head over to the jobs board, Costero Lounge.
That's good, by the way.
So is Gemma's confirmed at Costero Lounge? Gemma's so is confirmed. She going to be doing
she
some
has
hiring?
Her first shift today.
Never.
Yes, she's they're having their first the shifts at the moment, obviously, because they're still constructing or renovating the venue. But it's going to be in Torquay, and then they're going to have essentially a jobs fair.
Okay.
But it's not a jobs fair because there's only one employer, but there's lots of different jobs for that one employer.
Yes.
I'm not sure Gem's involvement for that, but it seems quite interesting. They've got a bunch of different...
Kitchen assistant, commis chef, line chef. So, yeah, there's a lot of jobs going. So how would they get in touch with Costero Lounge? Is there somebody over there at... this is at the former Harvester?
Yeah, this is the former Harvester. I found this listing on Indeed. So
perfect.
What you want to do is go on to Indeed, what I typed in is hospitality jobs in Torbay.
Yeah.
This is the first one that came up.
Easy.
Very easy.
Nice. So, there's also at the Queen's Hotel, there's a front desk receptionist job post going. So that's over in Paignton at the Queen's Hotel.
Yeah.
And a reservations manager at the Headland Hotel. You visit their Facebook page for information on how to apply.
Yeah. Awesome. Perfect. And the last one we have is the Soho Bar in Torquay. They're looking for some bar staff.
Oh, perfect. Head over to the live music calendar. What do you say?
Let's do it. There's lots coming up for this weekend.
I know, it's
nuts. Very exciting. Too much to choose on from for me.
I know, but we need this because, I mean, if people have closed like Wednesday, Thursday due to the storm, we need to make a real push for this weekend. So Friday the 3rd is Matt Dean, and he plays 70s, 80s, and 90s covers. He's going to be at the Devon Arms in Torquay from 9 p.m. on Friday. The Hot House Combo is playing at Below Decks starting from 6:30. And they do like swinging jazz, and they've got like an upright bass. And then I think somebody plays the washboard. It's wild. Okay. Really fun. Still Life is a rock three piece, and they're going to be playing at the New Key Inn in Tynmouth. That's from 9:15. And Chris Thomas is playing at the Bickley Mill Inn in Stony Coombe from 8.
So which way are you going on Friday?
The Bickley Mill Inn, obviously.
Yeah, for Chris Thomas. What kind of music does he play? Do you know?
Singer-songwriter.
Okay.
But yeah, cute. I'm planning on having like, yeah, they do really great food over there. And they started a new cocktails menu. So yeah, it should be a really fun night. Nice.
And that's Bickley Mill Inn.
That's right. In Stony Coombe over near Newton Abbot. Or King Kurzweil Way. Yep.
Yeah. So let's have a look at Saturday. So the first one we have is the Mojos. And they do blues rock three-piece, and that's at the Griffin Bar in Torquay, and they're there from 4 until 6. Then after the Mojos, we have Mrs. Jones, and that's soul and Motown covers. She's a solo artist, and that's going to be at the Kirkham Street Sports and Social Club in Paignton. That's from 9 p.m. Then we have Cobra, which is a classic rock four-piece at the Coach House, and that's in Paignton, from 9:30 until pretty late, until midnight. And then we have School Days, which is pop-rock. It's a five-piece band at the Union Inn in Newton Abbot from 9 until 11:30. And the last one we want to talk about for Saturday is Joey the Lips is playing at the Spinning Wheel from 9:30. And there's some early bird tickets, which are still available for £10. And you want to go onto the Spinning Wheel website to find that. Now, I don't want to ask you which one you're going to, because you've been talking about Joey the Lips. Joey the Lips.
Since I saw the Spinning Wheels like Facebook post that announced Joey the Lips, I've been like losing my mind about Joey the Lips. Or just on his YouTube, on their YouTube, just looking at like the instruments and everything. You know what I mean? They've got like a really big horn section. They're just an amazing band. So I will definitely be at Joey the Lips. I don't know how
fit the whole band into the Spinning Wheel. I think that basically there's going to be two tickets available because...
Everybody else is going to be in the band.
Everyone else is in the band. All their instruments.
I know. Yeah, they're an incredible band. So yeah, that's my recommendation for Saturday.
Yeah, okay, nice. I think personally, I'm very curious about the Mojos.
Mojos, the blues rock at the Griffin Bar.
Yeah, that one sounds pretty nice.
We heard of really good things about the Griffin Bar. Sam from the dock stopped by the other day. We love a pop-in over here. He popped in to say, yeah, that they had like a staff party over at the Griffin Bar, and they had an amazing time. So yeah, Griffin Bar, highly recommended.
Yes.
Right, on Sunday the 5th, Go Tell Alice, which is a pop, folk, and jazz duo, are playing at Cantina from 2:30 in the afternoon. That's a Sunday, and you can have your Sunday lunch there too, so that's great. And the Screamin' Weasels, I love that, to playing covers at the New Key Inn in Tynmouth from 3 p.m. And funk duo Schofield is back at Below Decks in Torquay from 5.
Can't forget Schofield.
We're the Schofield podcast.
It's the Schofield hospitality podcast.
It is. Honestly, if they're not playing out, like, you know, it's something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right. You ready for the weather outlook?
It's, would you believe me if I said it's sunny both days?
I think this is wrong.
Would you believe me?
No, I think you were lying. It looks like it's going to rain forever.
What if I said it's partly sunny both days?
Okay. I would accept that.
Okay. So Saturday, we partly sunny with a chance of rain, 13 degrees.
Okay.
And Sunday, just partly sunny. There's
no chance of rain.
Well,
I mean, we are in Devon.
There's some chance of it, I'm sure.
That's brilliant.
Or you can have a more positive outlook and both days are fully sunny and no rain.
No rain.
And 20, right. 25 degrees.
Right, we're going to head over to our interviews. Our first guest is James Hull, and he's the general manager at the Kent's Cavern. And he is sharing some fascinating insights into how he runs this prehistoric attraction and also its significance to Torbay's tourism industry. Let's have a listen. Welcome back. Here we are with James Hull, the general manager of Kent's Caverns. Welcome, James.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Callum's got some questions for you. Actually, I know everything about Kent's Caverns, so go on, Callum.
I want to start on a personal route.
All right.
So how did you get into being the general manager for Kent's Cavern? What's the road that led you there?
Ah, that's a good question.
It's a long road, I imagine.
It's a long, long road. So I was doing my teacher training. South Devon College,
yeah,
and I needed a summer job, so I went up to Kent's Cavern, and walked up and someone had put the phone down, not accepting a job. And I was like, is there any jobs here? And they went, you won't believe it. If you come back in an hour, I'll make sure the manager interviews you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So, yeah, crazy.
Incredible.
And did the interview, got a job straight away. Yeah. And I started doing evenings, doing the ghost tour.
Oh, nice. I love the ghost tour.
Doing the ticket desk and things like that. And walked away at the end of August thinking, that's it, job's done.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from Nick about 6 weeks later, who was the owner, going, it's really impressed with you. I've got this massive redevelopment. Would you like to do a bit of management here? Like, would you like to do a bit of marketing?
Interesting.
And I was like, yeah, that sounds like great fun. So did that. He said, it's probably only going to last about 2 years as a job.
Okay.
21 years later.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 44.
Oh, crazy. Okay.
I thought you guys were the same age.
I thought we were the same age.
How old are you?
26. That's why I asked for your background. I was so curious how like a 20-year-old was
GM.
That's very kind. Thank you. It's the cream, my dude.
Yeah, there you go. Tell us your secrets.
Tell us, definitely. Shout out to James's cream.
This podcast is going a different route.
It's brilliant. No, it's good. It's turned into a beauty podcast. I love it.
What I do at night is like, no.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a ghost that comes in and just takes your soul. And
No.
Just don't take yourself too seriously. Don't get stressed and drink loads.
Yeah.
Alcohol or water, up
that
to you.
That sounds good. They did put us next to the bar. We're next to the Bays Bar here at the Riviera Connect event. So yeah, we're definitely going to be hitting up the bar sometime soon.
Yeah, I think so.
It's got to happen. We've done a lot of promotion about Ken's Caverns, and I was saying off mic that I went over to the Halloween event a few years ago. It was really fun. Yeah. Are you doing anything for Halloween this year? Are you just going to go right for Christmas?
So we got a couple of small events happening for Halloween. So we got something called Being Very Batty. So it's all about all 17 species of bat that are in the UK. Who knew there were 17 species of bat?
And
it's kind of like a bit of an educational thing. So it's understanding each bat, understanding what makes them so special. And then you get like a little bat expert certificate for the children. And then we've also got a pumpkin hunt in the cave. So
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's, you know, something that adds to the experience of without going on a normal guided tour.
Yeah.
But just makes it a bit more sort of themed and focused.
Yes.
But the big thing is Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas for us is crazy.
Well, I really like with the offers that you have for Christmas, the add-on there that you have, if you come for the Christmas offer, then you can come again in January or February for free. Basically, you're buying one ticket and you're getting two entries.
Yeah.
And one of those entries is like an event.
Yeah.
Something that's happening. I think that's a really clever way to do it.
Oh, thank you. The reason for it is all about giving staff work, really. So,
interesting.
So for us, it's about, well, we know our quiet times are going to be in January and February.
Yeah.
You know, we know December's going to be really busy.
Yeah.
What can we do to add value to that ticket that will hopefully entice people to come to the caves? And if you're doing, for example, a Santa experience or the carols, you're not understanding the history of Kent's Cavern, which is really fascinating. You know, Britain's oldest home. So we want people to come back and experience that, so they've got an understanding of kind of how we work as an event, but also how we work as a daytime visit.
Yeah.
But then it also is really important because it just gives work for our staff, you know, and just being kind of very social about it. That's really important in the Bay, to give a continuous work throughout the whole year. So.
Which is difficult to do. Difficult to do.
Yeah.
So hats off.
Thank you.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. I've got some questions about Kent's Cavern that maybe you could answer. I don't know whether you can or not. I'm interested in knowing how far back it goes. What's at the very back? Is there like a fence and like black behind it, like nothing? Or does it stop at a wall? Does it go to the sea? I have so many questions.
Do you live back there?
My office is back there.
Oh my god! So, where is there a back?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Okay.
So, I mean, the caves have been shaped by water. So, the caves were an underground river, like 2.5 million years ago.
That went to the sea?
I don't know. None of us really know. but the water kind of disappeared. But what we do think is, you know, Ilsham Valley?
Yes.
That Kent's Cavern was part of Ilsham Valley as well, and then the caves collapsed and made the valley, and then you got left this tiny bit of a cave, which is actually now Kent's Cavern.
I understand, yes. So that is like all the way from like Ilsham Marine Drive, kind of by Thatcher's Rock, and it goes all the way down and then up at like the Warburys.
Yeah,
and the Linkhams are the higher parts, and then there's like this depression there where the Ilsham Green is.
Yeah.
Like all in that. Oh, okay. So that all used to be elevated and it collapsed, and now what's left is. Yeah, oh, okay.
That's a train of thought, is that it could have been like a really big cave, and then this valley has been made because the caves have collapsed
on
itself. But
incredible.
Bit of a sad fact, but you see Coombe, like Baba Coombe, Wat Coombe,
yes.
Linkhams, all of that is a dry riverbed.
Oh.
That's what a coombe means.
I thought it was cove.
No, so it's coombe.
It's
so
dry riverbed.
Dry riverbed.
What language does that originate from? Is it like Viking or Roman or? Okay.
Babbacombe though, so you're saying all the way up on like that hill, basically, that used to be a dry riverbed.
It could maybe not the same one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there used to be like those. Yeah, the old age rivers called coombes, and that's what that's why we've got all these different names.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Babbacombe, Fishcombe.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But that would make sense that it would be like in a cove and like a depressed area of land, though, wouldn't it? If the riverbed like collapsed, or that's where the water ran, right?
Yeah.
This is like a geography podcast now.
I mean, my background is in tourism, not in geology. Yeah. Just putting it out there. But yeah.
Sorry, if there are any experts into all of this stuff, please get in touch.
Please email James and say that's not how it happened.
Okay, but wait, you said that Kent's Cavern is one of the oldest like homes in the UK.
Yeah, so Kent's Cavern is Britain's oldest home. So the first humans that arrived in this country, they found a cave in Torquay, used it as a shelter. And that is our uniqueness. That's what makes us special. So
crazy, yeah. Okay.
And then the other thing is that we're the only site open to the public in the world where three different species of human have used it.
That's mad.
Yeah. So you've got Homo heidelbergensis, who used the caves 500,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Got Neanderthals, who used the caves about 100,000 years ago. And then you've got us, modern humans, that used the caves 42,000 years ago.
Wait, what was the first one? Homo
heidelbergensis.
Heidelbergensis.
Yeah. So like Heidelberg. It was found in Heidelberg in Germany.
Okay. So, interesting.
But yeah. So it's like some sort of sci-fi when you think of three different humans have used a cave. But yeah, it's.
Interesting. So
it's fascinating.
Have remains been found in the cave?
Yeah, so
like skeletal remains, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So 80,000 artifacts have been found so far in the caves.
So cool.
We've been excavating since 1825.
Yeah.
We're still excavating now. If like universities want to come in, they
have
to go through like Historic England to get the application.
Yeah.
But you can still excavate.
And how does that affect business when universities want to excavate?
Well, when like an excavation now is more like a test site, so you're probably thinking something that's like maybe 2 meters in length by a meter.
Yeah.
And they're kind of digging down. So what we've always said is just make it part of the visitor experience.
Yes,
if you know, when a guide is walking around, we want the archaeologists to talk to the visitors and say, this is why we're here, this is what we're excavating.
Yeah.
And if you find something, show it to them. So
such an add to the experience, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, to see that we're still looking for stuff.
Yeah.
There's still more history that could be found there.
So, I mean, because a lot of the time you sort of, you walk the walk, but you don't talk the talk.
Yes.
And the kind of the approach is, well, you know, the visitors are coming to an archaeological site.
Yeah.
It's really important that they are engaged with the archaeologists and they see what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't happen every day of the week. It's not something you...
you're just planting them point. It's just a marketing stunt.
But no, I mean, we had a team in January this year looking for cave art.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So it was an all-women's team looking for cave art in one chamber.
Yeah.
They were finding things that are dating back from 1459. And they found even evidence of like what could be prehistoric people leaving their fingerprints on the cave ceiling. Yeah, absolutely. And no one's seen it. You know, we've been looking at that cave for 200 years.
Yeah.
And then this team come along and go, oh, what's that up there? Well, hang on. I think that could be like some sort of finger drawing, you know. So, so they're back again in January this year. So,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
That should be turned into the event, really.
Yeah.
Come watch people work.
Yeah. And now this team go all over the UK talking about their discoveries at Kent's Cavern.
That's
so,
really cool.
Yeah, so lots of us think of Kent's Cavern as just the tourist attraction. But no, there's this whole academic side that's happening.
Yeah.
I've got, it's completely changing paths, but there was a child who came to see us when they were 14 years old going, can I do work experience?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah. And he goes, oh, he's really interested in like dinosaurs. And I was like, well, that's not great for Kent's Cavern. Dinosaurs weren't found in the caves, but yeah, come along. And he did 1 week's work experience, absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And then he's doing a degree now in paleontology, focusing on Ice Age animals. And he's just finished his PhD, and he's looked after about 200 artifacts that have been left like unpreserved. He's preserved them. He's got them displayed in a cabinet at Kent's Cavern.
Yeah,
and all from just this 14-year-old lad.
Yeah, sort just of fostering that curiosity.
Yeah, I think really, really sort of proud moment. Going, oh, we did something there.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Do you by chance remember his name? Let's give him a shout out.
I think he's on your social media, isn't he?
Yeah, he still works for us. He's Quinn.
He still works here as well.
Still works. He's like 22 years old now.
That's so amazing. Cool.
Quinn, call us. We'll have you on the pod. I love it. Speaking of which. So I think we're going to do some, do you want to talk through your Christmas offer, when it is, how people can book and get in touch?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Amazing.
So we've got two really big events happening for December. One is Carols in the Caves.
Yep.
So we've got Yours in Harmony, Torbay Police Choir and Red Rock A Cappella Group.
Yeah.
So they're coming in every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's £22.50. But you get a full-blown concert in the caves, then you do a candlelight tour, which is very cool, and do a bit more singing in the caves, and then you have loads of mulled wine, brandy and mince pies at the end.
Sounds very nice. How many tickets are available?
70 per night.
Okay.
So it's quite exclusive, it's quite a unique event. And then we do Santa in the Caves, and I think everyone knows Kent's Cavern for doing Father Christmas in the Caves. It starts on the 2nd of December.
Yeah.
Tickets are available to buy now. It's £17.50. Like you said, if you're an adult, you get a free return ticket to come back in January. And there's a lot of tickets for Father Christmas.
How do I purchase those tickets? Is it online?
So go onto our website, top right, kents-cavern.co.uk, and then top right you'll see buy tickets, and you'll see Santa right there.
Okay, awesome.
Exciting. No worries. Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Do you want to give us any shout outs, James? Let's have your shout outs. Anybody from the team that you'd like to recognize?
Oh, I tell you what, I have just finished chairing the attractions partnership group, and a big shout out to all of the attractions in the band. We're a really big family. So
well done.
All right, thank you so much, James.
No worries. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers for joining us. That was so interesting.
I can't believe I had no idea that all that went on at Kent's Cavern. It's amazing.
I've never been to Kent's Cavern, and like I'm really itching to go now. I think it's a really interesting. I think it's so cool that they actually have archaeologists in there present whilst people are walking around.
Yeah,
and you can go touch them and say, "What are you doing?"
I love that. I think I made have asked him a few too many questions. He was like, it's a bit beyond my. I want to know if Kent's Cavern goes all the way to the sea. If anybody knows, DM us.
Yeah, let us know.
In our next interview, we speak with Sean Toomey, and he is the manager over at the Golden Hind. And wait till you hear about all of the new things that are going on there. It's incredible. And here we are with Sean Toomey from the Golden Hind. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's lovely to see you. And I didn't really know, about the Golden Hind and everything that you have to offer. Can you give us a little bit of a flavor for what is on board?
I don't want to interrupt you, but we've got to make some assumptions here with the attire.
Sean's dressed as a pirate.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we're a part of the Brixham Pirate Festival as well. But the Golden Hind, it's
kind of an iconic attraction in Brixham Harbour. So there's been a replica of Sir Francis Drake's Golden Hind in Brixham since the 1960s. So it's really nice now. We have literally grandparents bringing their grandkids on, and they said we came on as five-year-olds 60 years ago, you know?
But oh, that's an incredible legacy, isn't it?
Yes,
and you were telling me off mic that there's like five floors of a museum and activities to do. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's five decks to go exploring. Most people assume when you're on the harbour, when you see it, it's just a wooden ship and that's it. But below deck, we have a full museum. There's like 10 exhibits that we update with all Tudor information, and it covers all the voyage and the history of, you know, it's an amazing feat to it sail, like the actual fulls or the actual ship sailed around the world in the 16th century. And, you know, most people say they wouldn't sail from Brixham to Torquay and not to mind around the world, you know.
Yeah, incredible. And so it's a replica of Sir Francis Drake's Golden Hind. So what is that voyage? Do you know the voyage? Do you know it intimately, I imagine?
Yeah. I know quite intimately. Yeah, so Sir Francis Drake set sail from Plymouth in 1577, and there were 71 men left on the ship, the Golden Hind. Originally, the plan was to sail to the Pacific Ocean to capture the Spanish ships that were bringing all the gold and silver and diamonds back from South America. So sailed up the west coast of South America, captured this huge Spanish ship called the Cagafuego, and it took them 5 days to capture all the Spanish gold and stuff, transferred it onto the Golden Hind, and then they had a problem, because if they sailed back through the Straits of Gibraltar, they would have the Spanish waiting for them. So they had to go west again through the Pacific, down around the Spice Islands, which are today's the Philippines and Indonesia and stuff like that, down around Africa, and then eventually, nearly 3 years later, they made their way back to Plymouth. So,
unbelievable.
Yes.
Was it called the Hind before the gold and Golden Hind after the gold?
No, it was actually called the Pelican.
Oh.
So when it set sail from Plymouth, it was called the Pelican.
Yeah.
And halfway, originally Drake didn't tell the crew that they were actually going on an attack, basically, on the Spanish ships, because he was afraid that, you know, loose lips sink ships, you know. So he was afraid word might get out. So he told the crew they were going to Alexandria in Egypt, just on a normal trading event. And when they sailed down to what's now the Cape Verde Islands. So when they reached the Cape Verde Islands, Drake says, actually, we're sailing across the Atlantic. We're going to go to the Pacific, capture these Spanish ships. And one of his officers, so there was 10 officers on board, but one of the officers was like, this is ridiculous, this is a suicide mission. And he tried to create a mutiny. His name was Thomas Doughty. So he tried to create a mutiny among the other sailors. Drake heard about this, wasn't best pleased, so he tied him to the mast. He arranged kind of a court-martial, and he was found guilty of witchcraft.
Ooh.
And treason, because Drake had orders from Queen Elizabeth I, and he was beheaded on board. So,
oh my heavens.
Yes, but because obviously witchcraft and that was a strong belief in the 16th century, they were blown 200 miles off course, they'd huge
problems.
Storms and stuff like that, so a huge problem. So they thought Doughty had put a curse on the ship.
Yeah.
So to appease his spirit, they renamed it, because normally you wouldn't rename a rowing boat because it's considered bad luck, but they renamed it the Golden Hind after his main sponsor, Thomas Hatton from Hatton Gardens
Gardens
in London.
Yeah.
So the goldsmith, so they were Doughty's main sponsor. So the Hind was their family crest, and the gold was obviously the gold.
That's an incredible story.
Cool.
That's wild. So he's beheaded on board.
Yes,
oh my gosh. And do you tell this story to the people that come to visit the Golden Hind?
Maybe not the children that are visiting from year one, but
that's a good idea.
We have a full audio tour when people come on board the ship, so they just scan it with their phone, and it gives them all the information. And there's quite a lot of history to what seems like just an old ship that's floating in Brixham Harbour, you know?
No, it seems like there's a lot going on the ship. That's brilliant. So did you say that you're going to be back in spring 2024? When do you know when you open?
Yeah, so normally we open for the February half term, so normally a falls around Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So then we're open 5 days a week from February up until the 1st of November.
Okay.
And obviously during the summer we're open 7 days a week.
Yeah, so yeah, of course. That's great. And I guess there's a little festival that happens now and then, right?
Yeah, little being the operative word.
Festival. Tiny
yeah.
little festival. You know, we cover the Brixham Pirate Festival on the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be down.
Yeah, so there's, yeah, obviously the Brixham Pirate Festival's the highlight, well, for most people from Brixham anyway, of the year. But yeah, so it's a huge event. Normally, we estimate between 50 and 60,000 people a day come down to Brixham for it, spending obviously lots of money bringing loads of business to the thing. But yeah, there's a committee of seven of us that help run it. So yeah, we you know, have lots of live music, we've live reenactments, we've lots of stands and trade stalls and stuff like that, you know. So
lots of beer.
We had a family friend over this year during the Pirate Festival.
Okay.
And she didn't know it was the Pirate Festival, yeah. But she came back from her little adventure that day. Guys, I think there's real pirates there. I think there's pirates in Brixham, like.
Yeah, yeah. Like the first time I went to the Pirate Festival, because I live in Torquay, and I went with some of my friends, and we got some, you know, cheap costumes off eBay and stuff.
Oh,
and
no, no,
we felt so out of place because everyone else was like extras from Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, you know, so.
I know, that's what I think a lot of people don't realize. I mean, it is real pirates, I think. I mean, you cannot get more authentic. It does look like a movie set when you're there.
And
I mean, just like the quality of like the fabrics and all of like the chains and the glitter, you know what I mean? All of the proper. Oh, it's so good.
Like, I feel like there are legit some parrots that turn up.
Oh,
yeah. There's lots of people with parrots. And yeah, this year coming down to 2024, it's the first time there's an international pirate gathering. And it's the first time it's been held outside of America. So we're probably one of a lot more people because we can't really get more people in, but there'll be a lot of people coming from the States, international and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
that'll be good. Well, they're all going to need hotel rooms, so get involved, right? Yeah. What are the dates of the Pirate Festival this year?
So it's the 4th, 5th and 6th of May. So it's always the May. The first May Bank holiday,
right? So make sure you get your rates up if you own a hotel in Brixham.
Can we go back a second?
Yes.
So what happened to the actual ship?
The actual ship, after it circumnavigated the world, Queen Elizabeth was one of the main sponsors of the voyage. So they brought back, in today's money, it's estimated about £500 million worth of treasure. So a huge amount of treasure.
Unreal. I know.
So Queen Elizabeth, she had the lion's share of that. So that was enough to clear the national debt at the time because, you know, it's hard to think, but England was a very poor country in comparison to Spain, Portugal, the Netherlands or whatever. So she had enough to clear the national debt, and she was so happy with Sir Francis Drake that they brought the original Golden Hind up to London, put it on display there in Deptford. Excuse me. And he was knighted on board as well, so that's where he was knighted to become Sir Francis. Eventually, like everything, it was like what we have in Brixham now. It was a museum, so you know, it's a bit like going to NASA to see the Space Center. People could go see this amazing vessel that sailed around the world. It was only Drake was only the second captain to sail around the world, the first Englishman. And so it was a museum for a while, it was a pub, it was a restaurant. Eventually it just rotted away. It lasted about 100 years before it rotted away, and they did salvage some of the timbers and they made it into a table and chairs, which is now in Bodleian Library in Oxford, so you can still see an actual part of the Golden Hind.
Wow, that's incredible. So, what a fantastic
in
story.
In 1960, so they made the replica.
Yeah, so there was a TV series that was filmed in Brixham, so they converted an old fishing boat into what looked like the original Golden Hind.
Okay.
And after the filming was finished, it was sold to a local business and opened as the attraction that it is today.
Okay, interesting. That's so
That's a cool story. I love it. Brilliant. So do you have any shout outs for anybody over on the Golden Hind? How many
or
crew members?
Else.
How many crew members?
We don't have many. shout out to Chelsea and Talitha, the two girls that are there today. So I hope they're very busy and doing lots of work. And also all the crew from the Pirate Festival. So we have we do have parlays. It's a meeting every month. So if anyone does want to get involved with helping out in the Brixham Pirate Festival, if you go on our Facebook page or whatever, we do have, every the I think it's the second Wednesday of every month, we meet in either the Golden Hind or one of the local taverns in Brixham. And if people just want to pop in, and we need lots of help during the weekend, so if anyone can do anything to help us out, that would be greatly appreciated.
Mm. Yeah, and awesome. Are you raising money? Because I know these things aren't free. So is there a crowdfunding thing, or how can people get involved? If they can't go to Brixham, how could they get involved? Could they donate somewhere?
Yeah, they can go on our website. There's a QR code where you can scan that to donate money. So the Brixham Pirate Festival, it's completely run by volunteers, and it's completely self-funded. So we do get help from the local council and the bid company and local businesses, but a lot of it is still shaking hands at people and getting the pounds and pennies and counting them up at the end. So it usually costs us in excess of probably £50,000 a year to put it on for a three-day event.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many local festivals that have gone to the buy side because obviously people can't, or they're not being supported or whatever. But yeah, if any local businesses do want to get involved, it's an amazing festival, and
it brings in business as well.
Yeah, exactly.
The local restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. And for most, almost all businesses in Brixham, it's the highlight of their summer or their year. And it happens at the beginning of the summer, which is a lot nicer than at the end of the summer, because then you've the money in the bank for the rest of the year.
Exactly. All right, that's brilliant. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Sean. It's really a pleasure to have you on the podcast. I learned a lot.
Yeah, me too.
All right, super. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. So we're talking about the Golden Hind, and you're telling us that it's an Airbnb during the winter.
It's Airbnb. It's an SEA, yes. So no links to Airbnb for legal reasons. But last July, we converted a couple of the storerooms to overnight accommodations.
Incredible.
Now we've got like a king-sized bed in a cabin, and we also have a bunk room. So normally we have families with two or three children that sleep overboard for the night.
And they get the whole ship themselves?
Yeah, so we normally close the museum around 4:30, so they have the whole ship to themselves.
From 4:30?
From 4:30 until 10 o'clock the following morning.
Crazy. And, I mean, is there any worries with the team that one day you're going to wake up and someone's just going to sail that bad boy halfway around the world?
I would say to people, it creaks a bit during the night and it might move a bit, but as long as you can still see Brixham, there's nothing to be worried about. If you can't see Brixham, then you're in trouble.
Well, look, if you're, if you're on the way to Spain, go get your bounty.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's quite well secured. So I don't think anyone would be taking it anywhere soon.
I think that's an incredible value, don't you? $225 for the night.
So good.
Oh, it's brilliant to have the whole ship to yourself. What an experience.
That is so good. Good price for that, I think.
Yeah. And it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, you know what I mean? And absolutely brilliant.
How do people book?
They can just go directly on our website, just www.goldenhind.co.uk,
this running last winter as well?
We do it all year round. Even in the summer, people can stay. So when you started it last July, it's been really, really busy. And surprising for me, probably 80% of our customers that stay overboard are actually based in Devon. People from Brixham, Torquay, Paignton. It's like, we've never come on before, but we'll stay overnight.
So how many more rooms are there left to renovate?
That's it. No,
how big are we turning this hotel into?
Well, originally when I came to Torquay first, we run a backpackers hostel, so we'd 50 beds in that. So I think it would be pushing it a bit to turn it into a backpackers ship.
I think it's fine. I think it's the way the sailors would have slept,
possibly.
I'm sure.
Yes, possibly.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, we're definitely going to have to stay. Are there any ghosts on board?
I'd rather not comment on that.
Oh,
you know?
But yeah, I think that's a yes.
There's a lot of creaking, a couple of noises. Maybe if you do want to stay, bring a couple of earplugs,
Oh, okay. All
you
right.
Don't want to comment because you don't want to anger them?
Possibly, yes. It's got a bit of a checkered history,
Oh, okay. All right. So I guess I'm assuming that it's not going to be available for the Pirate Festival. That would be way too noisy.
No, I'm staying on board for the Pirate Festival.
Are you?
Because I literally do not leave that part of Brixham Harbour.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes.
Hey, exciting.
Right, well, thanks for that last bit.
Very good.
All right, awesome.
Thank you.
so good.
Did you know that they had that you were allowed to rent out the Golden Hind to stay in?
You know what? I feel like if someone's got the money, just live there. Just live there. That'd be great.
Just live there. Yeah, I think they're already. We said that they were already booked up for Pirate Weekend.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that be really cool to just like? Yeah, it's just like a one off.
Listen, you could buy the boathouse for $1 million. Or you could buy, maybe, probably not, but you might be able to buy the Golden Hind and it would be your house, which is a boat.
Yes. I bet it's freezing. Don't you think it would be cold?
Talking about the boathouse, do we have any updates in the boathouse?
Nothing new on Boathouse Watch. It's crickets.
Crickets. Okay, right.
Never mind. Right.
That's what goes on.
That's what's going on at the boathouse. Nothing. So yeah, no update. But yeah, Paul, Matt, if you hear anything, call us.
Yeah.
So right.
Thank you very much to our interview guests for this week, because really learned so much.
Yeah. Thanks to James and thanks to Sean for coming on to the pod. So right, subscribe to the podcast and stay up to date. On Spotify, we are gathering feedback about which parts of the podcast you really like best. So make sure to interact with our surveys, and we do read every response.
Yeah. And don't forget to nominate a guest that you think would make a great interview. Even if they're a little bit shy.
We're easy.
We're easy. We got coffee. We've got water. We've got water.
Of course we do.
Just letting them know.
Most places have water.
So do we.
We're like most places. So yeah, it's really chill and really fun. And so, you know what? Actually, we've had a few people come on and they say, oh, I'm nervous. I don't feel right. You know, and they feel funny. Yeah. But God, by the end, they're like, well, I love that. You know, they take off their headphones. Yeah. They love it. They're posing for selfies and stuff. Everybody just becomes like a huge fan after they spend a little bit of time with us. So make sure you're nominating people and sending through their names. DM us, email us on contact@torbayhospitality.co.uk. Or anyway, just get in touch. We're always around and we're here right on Beacon Quay. So it's easy to get to, and easy to be a guest on the pod.
Yep. And thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Okay,
cool.
Perfect.
That is weird.
No, you did amazing. What an inspirational story. Yeah. I'm sorry that we got off track on the coons. This is Sean. Do you know Sean? He runs the Golden Hind.
I've never met him.
My boss.
Oh, really? So you guys know one another?